Do you have repair projects that you've been putting off, whether it's basement waterproofing, concrete raising, structural repairs, or attic insulation? PermaSeal provides quality work and free inspections. Don't wait. Call PermaSeal 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
House Oversight Committee Chairman James Comer came out of that meeting. He said it was 2.5 hours of discussion. He said it was just bipartisan as anything I've seen in the 9 years that I've been here. Our congressperson, Raja Krishnamoorthy, representing the 8th District, was there as well. You heard these women speak?
I did. I was there for 2.5 hours as well. And I got to tell you, it was one of the most gripping, gut-wrenching, emotional 2.5 hours I've spent on Capitol Hill. These women were just incredibly brave. They were very specific and detailed in their explanations of what happened, and they were very clear that they want transparency, accountability, and justice. And anyone with a heart, sitting in that room that day, like me, was probably moved to kind of not only say the right things that day, but hopefully match our words with deeds.
Right, because 33,000 pages of Epstein documents, is that what was released? And it has been reported that 95% of that was already public. What did you learn that you didn't already know?
Not much. It's all in the public domain mostly. I think that what was really kind of revealing to me sitting there listening to the survivors and their attorneys is that there's so many other documents out there that are not within our possession, that should be in our possession. And there are a lot of documents that are not even available to the survivors, even though they pertain to their specific cases. And I remember one survivor who basically testified, or not, I should say testified, but she said at this meeting yesterday, she was abused so horrifically that she does not recall a lot of the details. She doesn't recall the days, the events, and she wants the records in order to fill in the gaps in her own memory and to be able to heal because she can't right now.
Yeah, I would imagine if you're in survival mode, how can you remember that day in 2004, 2002? You can't
Correct.
Possibly do that. And that's her story. She should be able to see that, especially
Correct.
The government has a file on you and it's of a sexual nature and abuse. You have a right to that. What do they have to do to get those?
Well, we made it our, Democrats and Republicans sitting in that room agreed that we would do everything in our power to furnish those records to those survivors. Of course, respecting their privacy and making sure that others don't have access to it, but that they do in order to heal and learn what's in those files. But the problem that I'm seeing, Lisa, is that 20 years later, that's the other thing that came out loud and clear. It's been 20 years since the litigation surrounding this first started, and they still don't have the transparency and accountability that they're talking about. What also jumped out at me is that I think there are, I hate to say it, I think there are powerful interests involved here that are blocking the publication of these records. And I fear that this could happen again. I mean, we had literally thousands of women, underage girls who were abused, and it involved countless people and upwards of $1 to $2 billion in transactions.
Congressman, help me sort something out here in that there you're talking about documents that the government has that they should have access to. A lot of the talk has been about this quote unquote list of people who were associates or who may have been involved in these crimes. And the women today said they were going to come up with their own list, but maybe not release it. Can you explain the difference between the two documents, the list and the documents, and why it is they would come up with a list and not release it?
I don't know that there is a quote-unquote list out there, except that they know names of, people that were involved in abusing them or accessories in abusing them. And you know, they could compile that list of names and release it. I don't know what else is in those files, honestly. There's a theory that Jeffrey Epstein actually kept a list that he would use to blackmail people with. I don't know if that's true, but in any case, that's why we need all the files. We need everything within the government's possession. By the way, one separate issue that came up over and over again is that, you know, the survivors said, follow the money. You know, the government oftentimes requires financial institutions of all stripes to keep very detailed records, especially with regard to wire transactions, especially with regard to cash also that is taken out of the banks in certain amounts. And they said, you know, you guys got to go to FinCEN and SEC and other agency, Department of Treasury and other agencies that have access to some of this information, and you need to get it that way too.
You said there are $1 to $2 billion in transactions. That is, it's just, it's sick because this is trafficking children. I know they want to say young women, but at 14, in my mind, you're still a child.
You're a child. I mean, look, it's so sick what they did. They said that they basically paid $300 cash to a child to, quote unquote, perform a massage. And then they'd offer $300 cash to then solicit someone else to do the same thing. And they'd keep doing it over and over again. And apparently, you know, as the DOJ even said, it's in the thousands of victims at this point. Can I just relate one other anecdote that just jumped out at me?
Yes.
A woman who was, I think she was maybe 16 or 17. She was training to be a massage therapist in Los Angeles. Ghislaine Maxwell actually flew her out from LA to New York City, said, you know, we're going to try to get you an even better job. We're going to get you into a great career as a masseuse out here. She flies her out to New York City. Someone at the airport greets her upon her arrival with a sign with her name on it. And she's just dazzled that someone with a driver with a sign with her name on it was there. She gets in the car, goes to an apartment, and they have like fresh cookies for her. She remembers that to this day. And then, you know, they have pictures of like famous people on the wall with Ghislaine Maxwell and stuff to kind of make it seem like she's a very powerful person, but very nice and stuff. And they're totally manipulating her. And then from there, they send her to Jeffrey Epstein's mansion. And that's when the, you know, the abuse started.
It's overwhelming, and it's especially traumatizing for people who have been victims of sexual abuse. But I hope these women continue to find their strength and to share their voice, because I know you said it's been going on for 20 years, and people are saying, "Well, why didn't the Biden administration do it?" Why, you know, but every administration seems to have passed on this. And I'm glad that there are people now saying the buck stops here.
Look,
but does it is the question.
Two points. One, it has to. I mean, we can't allow these monsters to be potentially among us right now and escape accountability. That's the first point, because that was something that the survivors made very clear, which is these people are still among us. They seem to be, somehow protected from the law, and they need to be brought to account. Secondly, Lisa, I think I don't see what's to prevent this from happening again. I fear that we have some problems in our laws that allow for this thing to have happened and for people to obviously not get punished who have committed horrific abuses. And so we got to figure out how to prevent this from happening again. And that's one of the reasons I've become so involved in this case at this point.
Well, thank you so much for sharing what you know so far. We appreciate your work on this case. It's got to be solved because these people didn't just stop. Their desire to rape children didn't stop
when
Jeffrey Epstein died. As the survivor said, they're still out there. And my guess is they're still doing what they've always done.
Yes. And can I just say one last thing? I just have to say that, you know, I think that we have to demand, you know, full transparency here. And it's not a partisan issue at this point. I mean, like, literally, it was me and, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and Mr. Massey and other Republicans and a bunch of people in that room. And now they've voted for this as well. It's become a bipartisan issue. And we need to keep that spirit going here.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Representative Raja Krishnamoorthy, as you know, he's running for senator. He represents the 8th District.